Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Ava Rutzel and myself, John Bourne. This week, Ava is speaking to John Dexter, conductor with the fantastic Goethe Institute Choir, and we'll be finding out all about the choir's upcoming performance in St. Patrick's Cathedral here in Dublin. We have the latest concerns of our Irish MEPs in Brussels, and from the European Commission representation in Ireland, we'll have a rundown on some of the stories of Irish interest that have made the headlines in Europe. We will also have some great music from Germany and France for your enjoyment, so stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. New figures from Eurostat show that the number of Irish people in the 30 to 34 year age bracket with third level education is the third highest in the EU. Ireland is on 52.3%, just behind Cyprus on 54.6% and Lithuania, which tops the table on 57.6%. Ireland also performed very well with the share of early leavers from education and training falling from 12.2% in 2006 to 6.9% in 2015, putting us in the seventh lowest place in the EU. Tim Hayes of the EU Commission Office in Dublin says these statistics are great omens for the future of the Irish economy.
Well, what they tell us is that Ireland has now one of the highest levels of 30 to 34 year olds who have completed third level education within the European Union. That's very promising for the future of jobs and investments in Ireland.
Certain cosmetics from foreign countries top the list of dangerous products taken off the shelves before they could be sold in Ireland last year. New figures released this week by the European Commission also show that certain plug adapters and mains leads for specific tablets were also deemed to be dangerous and removed from the market. Tim Hayes is Head of Communications at the EU Commission Office in Dublin. He says the good news is that under the EU alert system, consumers are protected and dangerous products have been removed from the market across the European Union.
This is a system whereby the manufacturers or the retailers or the governments communicate with one another, so therefore the products should already have been recalled and so there should be no danger for anybody walking off the street.
The Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan is demanding that the EU Commission investigates the high concentration of media ownership in Ireland. An EU-funded report recently published by the Florence-based Centre for Media Pluralism and Media Freedom found that Ireland was exposed to a high risk when it comes to concentration of media ownership. The report referred to the fact that the businessman Dennis O'Brien enjoys a dominant position within the print and the commercial radio sector. However, the report also states that this dominance is countered by the dominant position of RTE in both the television and radio markets. But Lynn Boylan is warning that no one individual should control so much of the media.
When it comes to media ownership, I think all past politicians have failed to deal with the substantive issue, which is one individual in particular having such a huge hold across the different media platforms, because it's fundamental to any democracy that everybody sees a pluralist media, a media that is open and independent and gives different views, different opinions. And I don't believe we have that in Ireland at the moment. And I think particularly with the individual involved, people are afraid to speak out. And they're afraid to stand up and put their head above the parapet. And I think that we do need a little bit of political backbone here to deal with this situation.
The Fine Gael MEP, Mairead McGuinness, is urging banks to ease the pressure they're putting on farmers over their financial affairs. Midlands Northwest MEP says farmers are under enough pressure at the moment with the various challenges in the agricultural industry. Last month, the European Parliament's Agricultural Committee held a minute's silence to mark the deaths by suicide of hundreds of farmers across the EU. Here's Mairead McGuinness.
The banks have a responsibility not to push people to the point where they feel there is no future for them or indeed their families. That is not right. Why should we want people pushed that far? I think there are people, and I talk to them, and families living in this awful situation where they are afraid. They're afraid of getting up in the morning. They're afraid to sleep at night. They're trying to look after cattle and sheep and pigs and the works, knowing that they're making nothing and losing a fortune. And that impacts on people quite profoundly if they can't meet their bills, particularly people who've met their bills in the past. So a bit of understanding here. I think a bit of cop on and not to push people to the brink.
The Fine Gael MEP, Deirdre Clune, is urging Irish people in Britain and British people in Ireland to register to vote for the June Brexit referendum. The Ireland South MEP says it's essential they ensure they're registered to vote if they want the UK to remain in the European Union.
It's estimated that there are about 430,000 Irish people living in the UK, and I'd like encourage them all to ensure that they are registered and that they vote and that they express their opinion, because if the recommendation from Ireland is that we would like to see the UK remain in the EU. So I'd ask them to exercise that opportunity and to encourage their friends and relations and wherever they can to do that. There's also about 300,000 UK citizens estimated living in Ireland who are eligible to vote, who can apply for a postal vote if they haven't already done so. And they too can exercise their franchise. And I would really encourage them to do that, because every vote counts in a referendum.
An deiner, ich dreh an meinem Regler. follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Hi, this is Eva Rützel for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Today I talked to Mr. John Dexter, the musical director of the Goethe Institute Choir here in Dublin. He will tell us something about the Dublin Spring Charity Concert, which will take place in St. Patrick's Cathedral on 7th of May. Hi John, welcome to Europe Today.
Hi.
The concert is called Charity Concert. Is it for a good cause?
This is for the Carmichael Centre for Voluntary Groups. It's a wonderful charity that is an umbrella for 48 different charities all under the one roof, and they all share common goals and common purpose, and they communicate with each other. They're a wonderful cause. The concert is introduced by David Norris, who is a great supporter of theirs.
What will the choir sing on 7th May?
Well, the special thing about this concert on Saturday is that we're doing Tallis's 40-part motet. Now, Thomas Tallis was a fascinating character from the 16th century, and he was just spanned before the Reformation and after the Reformation. And, of course, the amazing thing about him was that he remained a Catholic at a time of the Reformation when, of course, that wasn't allowed at all. But he and his friend William Byrd were in favour with the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, and she granted them a monopoly of all printing music. And so she obviously overlooked the fact that they remained Catholics. And this wasn't the only reason that Tallis is such a remarkable composer. He wrote this music in 40 parts. Now, you can imagine that we all get thrilled when we hear harmony. I remember the Beach Boys singing and loving their harmony when they're split into two parts or three parts or even four parts sometimes. But this is in 40 parts. So it's in St. Patrick's Cathedral, if you can imagine it, this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock, with the 40 different parts all surrounding in a big semicircle up the side aisles, across the front, and then around the back of the cathedral. It's such a rare performance that we're doing something rather unusual. We're going to perform it at the beginning of the concert and then again at the end, because if you just hear it once, you're so overwhelmed by it, you want to hear it again. It only lasts about 11 or 12 minutes. It's called Spem in Allium, a motet in 40 parts by Thomas Tallis.
Okay. Why did you decide to choose music pieces by Joseph Haydn and by Georg Friedrich Händel?
Yes. Now, the Handel music is Zadok the Priest, which has trumpets and drums in it, and there's a very festal piece, very popular and much loved. And there's a short piece by Haydn as well. And we have a guest soloist, Virginia Kerr, who is now a world-renowned soprano soloist. She's sung in all opera houses in the world, Covent Garden. But she is Irish, and she teaches in the Royal Irish Academy of Music. And she's singing with the choir as a soloist for two of the pieces.
Okay.
And she has remarkable soprano operatic voice. She seems to have no problem singing the highest notes of the piano. I've never heard anything like it. So one of the works she's going to sing is Nulla in Mundo by Vivaldi.
Okay.
And another one is the Haydn Little Organ Mass. Now, this is the famous because it's the shortest mass that's ever been written. But the one particular movement, the Benedictus, is a beautiful soprano solo. But these are central pieces in the concert. But at the beginning is the Tallis 40-part motet, and then again at the end is the Tallis 40-part motet sung by the Goethe Institute Choir. And this, although the orchestra plays in the other items in the concert, the Tallis is for choir only. The most extraordinary piece of music.
Okay. Which information do you want to know us about your choir?
The Goethe Institute Choir is exactly 50 years old this year.
Okay.
And it's centred on the Goethe Institute in Merrion Square. And I'm the second conductor. The first conductor was Coit Lanigan Cooper. And I've been conducting it now since 1998. And we don't just sing German music. We've sung music. And at Christmas time, we sang a cantata written specially for us by Werner Blau, incorporating seven different European languages. So we like to pride ourselves in singing all styles of music.
All right.
But this is rather special for us, to sing Thomas Tallis in 40 parts. We are about 80 voices, so it's approximately two people on each part spread all around the cathedral.
Yes.
David Lee is playing the organ for the other items, and David Norris is introducing it. Of course, with music like Tallis, which is over 450 years old, it's difficult to imagine what it must have been like in those days, singing this extraordinary music, when each singer just had a sheet of music with their own part. Nowadays, of course, you can print off music which has all the score of all the parts on it. But in those days, each singer just had their own part. Unfortunately, in Dublin, we have an expert on the music of this period, Dr. Andrew Johnstone, who's a lecturer in Trinity College, Dublin.
Okay.
And he has helped to research all the background to this music. And so even the pitch of the music has changed since the 16th century. Everything has to be transposed a little bit higher than what's written on the page. But this is a great challenge for us, and the members of the Goethe Institute Choir are really enjoying learning it, and we're looking forward to the performance on Saturday.
Yes, of course. Is the Dublin Spring Charity Concert every year? Is it a tradition, or is it the first time this year?
This has been going on ever since the Carmichael Centre for Charitable Groups opened its doors in 1990.
Okay. And
usually, this is the first year it's not been on Good Friday, but usually this concert has been on Good Friday. And
right.
It's become a Dublin tradition that's always packed to the doors. And because I think people are so aware of the charity and what a great cause it is. But this year, there was too many things going on Good Friday, so it's now the 7th of May.
Yes. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us on Europe Today.
I'm delighted, thank you. I hope to see you at the concert this Saturday at 8 o'clock in St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
The European Parliament recently voted in favour of controversial EU rules that will enable the authorities to gather more information about passengers flying in and out of the EU. The PNR, or Passenger Name Record Directive, will oblige airlines to hand over data on their passengers to the relevant EU authorities when requested. Those who have supported the directive say it will help fight terrorism and serious crime. However, those against it argued it will breach people's privacy and lead to unnecessary data retention. The Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly was one of the MEPs who voted for it.
This is a matter of security. It's a matter of counter-terrorism, and it's one of the key ways in which authorities can track the movement of terrorists. If I travel from Dublin to Berlin and Berlin on to Brussels, I have nothing to hide. So why shouldn't the authorities know I'm travelling if they want to check me? But if I'm a terrorist and they cannot get that information, then I have free movement to go where I like. And that is one of the problems actually that led to the attacks in Paris and in Brussels. So it is a matter of maybe slightly limiting people's freedom, but in the overall good, it's absolutely essential.
Ireland is once again predicted to have the highest growth in the EU. Economic growth is set to rise or remain broadly stable in most member states over the forecast horizon. The economies of all member states are expected to expand next year, but growth is still expected to remain uneven across the EU. Pierre Moscovici, Commissioner for Economic and Financial Affairs, Taxation and Customs, said growth in Europe is holding up despite a more difficult global environment.
Private consumption was the main growth engine last year. In 2016, it should continue to benefit from the rising growth of household real disposable incomes, thanks to improving labour market conditions, moderate rises in wages and very low inflation. With the assumption that we make of gradually increasing energy prices, inflation is expected to step up in the second half of this year. In 2017, inflation is projected to pick up gradually and to reach 1.4%. Higher real wages and steady domestic demand growth should then eventually increase domestic price pressure. The unemployment rate in the euro area is projected to fall from 10.9% in 2015 to 9.9% next year. Unemployment is expected to fall in almost all euro area countries over the forecast horizon, particularly in those that have implemented labour market reforms. I would mention there Spain, Cyprus, Ireland and Portugal. But, of course, unemployment is still too high to be complacent, and further efforts are needed, in particular to reduce youth and long-term unemployment. Deficit in the euro area is expected to continue declining this year to 1.9% of GDP from 2.1% in 2015. It should then decrease further to 1.6% next year, always under a no policy change assumption. In many member states, deficit ratios are projected to continue falling in 2016 and 2017. In the euro area, we expect only France at 3.4%, Spain at 3.9%, and Greece at 3.1% to post deficits above the 3% threshold for this year.
Si je m'endors, me réveillerez-vous? Il fait si froid dehors, le ressentez-vous? Il fut un temps où j'étais comme vous. Malgré toutes mes galères, je reste un homme debout. Priez pour que je m'en sorte, priez pour que mieux je me porte. Ne me jetez pas la faute, ne me fermez pas la porte. Oui, je vis de jour en jour, squat en squat, un troubadour. Si je chante, c'est pour qu'on me regarde, ne serait-ce qu'un petit bonjour. Je vous vois passer quand je suis assis, vous êtes debout près, c'est j'apprécie. Un petit regard, un petit sourire, me prennent le temps, ne font que courir.
Si je m'endors, me réveillerez-vous? Il fait si froid dehors, le restaurant. Il fut un temps où j'étais comme vous, malgré toutes mes galères, je reste un homme.
Merci bien pour la pièce, en ce moment c'est dur, je confesse. Enfin je vais m'en sortir, je l'atteste. Toujours avoir un toit, une adresse. Si de toi à moi, c'est dur, je stresse. Le moral n'est pas toujours bon, le temps presse. Mais bon, comment faire, à part l'ivresse comme futur? Que tes promesses en veux-tu? Voilà ma vie, je me suis pris des coups dans la tronche. Sois sûr que si je tombe par terre, tout le monde passe, mais personne ne bronche. Franchement, à part les gosses qui me regardent étrangement, tout le monde trouve ça normal que je fasse la manche. M'en veuillez pas, mais parfois, j'ai qu'une envie à vendre.
Si je m'endors, me réveillerez-vous? Il fait si froid dehors, le ressentez-vous? Il fut un temps où j'étais comme vous, malgré toutes mes galères.
je m'en sorte. Prie pour que mieux je me porte. Ne me jette pas la faute. Ne me ferme pas la porte.
Si je m'endorme, réveillez-vous. Il fait si froid dehors.
A track called Un Home Debut from French artist Claudio Capeo. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, we want to say a very, very special thank you to John Dexter, conductor with the fantastic Goethe Institute Choir, for being our guest this week. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a link to the various items that we spoke about on the programme tonight. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020, that's 865-8020, or you can text us on 087-977-1032, 087-977-1032. I hope you'll join us again next week at the same time here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for your programme Europe Today.